Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today we open our show with a report about a We Are All Immigrants rally held in Escondido. Then we'll tell you about the latest entry into the 40th State Senate District race. And hear about a bill by Senator Brian Jones to make it harder for sexually violent predators to be placed into neighborhoods. President Donald Trump's recent actions regarding autism, including his claim that autism can be caused by Tylenol, will be the subject of a special report from East County Magazine on our show today. We'll also have a warning for parents after a Lemon Grove student reported being followed on her way to school. The FBI is offering a $25,000 reward for information leading to the arrests of suspects wanted for an incident in January in which four hikers were shot at and robbed in Jacumba, near the Mexican border. Two orphaned mountain lion cubs have been successfully rehabilitated at the Ramona Wildlife Center and released into the wild locally. From California News Service, hear about some deceptive Medicare ads, plus learn about open enrollment for Covered California if you need health care. On People Power, hear how three major charities in San Diego County have come together to form United for San Diego to take care of local needs for housing, food, and health care after government funding cuts. From California News Service, hear how a ballot initiative intended to help schools with arts funding is facing trouble being implemented by rural schools due to teacher shortages. September is National Preparedness Month. Hear what you can do for yourself, your neighbors, and your community to help stay safe from wildfires and other disasters. San Diego County will be holding a special event to celebrate its history coming up October 4th in Santee, and we'll have details. Then on Ready, Set, Grow, hear from Master Gardener Connie Beck with some fall planting tips. On Tribal Beat, learn about a bill to help keep Native American children out of the foster care system and provide them with the resources that families need. Plus, be on the lookout for a missing woman last seen in July, but her vehicle was found in Potrero. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. Approximately 100 residents from Ramona, Temecula, Escondido, San Diego, and other locations joined in a We Are All Immigrants rally on September 27th in Escondido. The rally was organized by the North County chapters of Indivisible and 50501. The event responded to challenges facing immigrant communities, including racial profiling and targeting by immigration authorities that organizers say terrorizes local residents. Rally organizers emphasize that immigrants have a long and rich history of contributing to America's greatness while being unfairly blamed for societal problems beyond their control. Although this event was organized in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, immigrants were also encouraged to wave flags from their countries of origin in a visual display of unity. Organizers say the rally celebrated the diverse immigrant heritage that enriches San Diego and America. Flags from many countries were on display at the rally held at the corner of East Valley Parkway and Ash Streets in Escondido. Richard Cannon, an organizer, states, "Immigrants are responsible for so much of America's success, from building the Transcontinental Railroad to developing the medical, scientific, and technological innovations we rely on today. We are unequivocally a better nation because of our immigrants' heritage, yet we routinely cast immigrants as villains," he says. Whether it was the No Irish Allowed signs, the Chinese Exclusion Act, the forced deportation of over 1 million people, including U.S. citizens during the 1930s Mexican repatriation, or the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II, we keep repeating the same mistakes, says Cannon. Today, federal immigration enforcement continues this pattern through racial profiling and detention of Americans based on the color of their skin, he says. The rally acknowledged these historical wrongs while celebrating the diverse heritage that makes our community strong, also aiming to counter what organizers describe as federal policies and Supreme Court decisions that have enabled racial profiling and community intimidation based on skin color. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego Unified School District Trustee Sabrina Bazo has announced that she will run for State Senate in the 40th District, Times of San Diego reports. The seat is currently held by Senator Brian Jones, the Republican leader in the chamber, who will be leaving office due to term limits in 2026. In a statement, Bazo says, quote, "I am running to protect public education and protect access to health care, which are under intense attack by the Trump administration," adding that she seeks to turn the 40th Senate District blue and deny MAGA Republicans a voice they've used to support Trump, unquote. Bazo, whose professional career is in healthcare education, has served 5 years on the school board. She will face former San Diego City Attorney Mara Elliott, who is also a Democrat, as well as Republican Christy Bruce Lane and Escondido Council member Ed Musgrove in the open primary. The district includes much of North and East San Diego County, including northeastern San Diego, the cities Escondido, Poway, San Marcos, Santee, and numerous unincorporated communities such as Alpine, Descanso, Ramona, and Valley Center. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Marie Johnson.
A bill aimed at keeping communities safer from sexually violent predators has passed both houses of the legislature and is now awaiting action by Governor Gavin Newsom. The measure, Senate Bill 380, is authored by State Senate Minority Leader Brian Jones, a Republican whose district includes much of East County. It directs the Department of State hospitals to examine placing sexually violent predators in state-run transitional housing facilities upon release. These individuals have received the Sexually Violent Predator, or SVP, designation after serving time in state prison and mental hospitals for serious crimes. Current law allows for their conditional release into the community, a situation that has drawn widespread opposition from communities. Placement of sexually violent predators in neighborhoods has been a key issue in several East County communities, including Borrego Springs, Campo, Boulevard, Hakumba, Julian, and other areas, where residents strongly opposed placement. Some proposed placements have been in neighborhoods with families of young children and in areas close to parks, schools, and school bus stops. Jones says of his bill's passage, "This is a victory for public safety statewide. Community release is a dangerous proposition, period. The department needs to step up and take responsibility to fix this broken system, not continue to dump sexually violent predators into our neighborhoods." Supported by a coalition of local government, law enforcement, and victims' advocacy groups, SB 380 implements a recommendation from the California State Auditor to study the feasibility of transitional housing for sexually violent predators. The auditor's recommendation came after Jones secured an audit of the state's handling of the conditional release program. The department refused to implement the recommendation on its own, requiring legislative action. Jones says state hospital officials have repeatedly shirked their responsibility to the public by digging in and resisting recommendations from the auditor. The passage of SB 380 will ensure we explore every possible alternative to a status quo that puts children and families at risk. Jake Donahue, Capital Director for Senator Jones, told East County Magazine that transitional housing could look a number of ways and the possibilities are near endless. He adds, in Washington, for example, they've placed them in state-run housing on an island in the Puget Sound. In Texas, they have housing that looks closer to a halfway house that's situated in an isolated area. There are variations in several other states that take their own unique form. He says the study is needed to take a closer look at the unique characteristics of our state's sexually violent predators, available funding, available land, and many other considerations to determine what the best model for transitional housing in California might be. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
Autism in the United States has increased from 1 in 36 children in 2020 to 1 in 31 in 2022, according to the Centers for Disease Control. But medical experts are increasingly critical of the Trump administration over autism claims that are not backed by science. The Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, has just announced approval of a form of leucovorin to treat autism in children. This action comes after President Donald Trump claimed that Tylenol taken during pregnancy can cause autism, despite the fact that numerous studies have found Tylenol safe to take during pregnancy to reduce pain and fever, conditions that, if left untreated, can damage an unborn child. Meanwhile, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Secretary of Health and Human Services, has promised to prioritize finding causes and a cure for autism soon. Kennedy has drawn fire from the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, however, for promoting, quote, unethical junk science and dangerous misinformation about autism. The organization also criticizes Kennedy for hiring David Geyer to oversee a Health and Human Services study on autism, calling Geyer a quack. Geyer lost his medical license in 9 states, was disciplined for practicing medicine without a license, and, for along with his father, subjecting autistic children to unproven medical treatments for their own financial gain. The Trump administration is hailing leucovorin, a form of folic acid, for reducing some autism symptoms, but experts who research or treat autism almost uniformly agree that the medication should be studied more before it's rolled out to children or adults. Though leucovorin has shown promise treating autism in some small-scale trials, David Mandel, a psychiatry professor at the University of Pennsylvania, told NBC News that the folate hypothesis is based on weak science. He says, "We do not have good large-scale studies that show that any significant portion of autistic people have a folate deficiency." Leucovorin is currently used as an antidote to the harmful effect of methotrexate, that's a cancer medicine, and with other medication to treat colon or bowel cancer as well as prevent certain types of anemia. Conflict of interest questions have been raised over whether Dr. Mehmet Oz, the administrator for the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, may profit off expanded use of leucovorin. Oz invested in iHerb, a company that sells folinic acid, the supplement found in leucovorin. While the FDA approval is only for a prescription version, Oz could potentially profit off supplements touting natural alternatives. Oz has said he will divest his shares of the company, but may already have profited off the announcement. Before leucovorin can become available to qualifying autism patients via prescription, the manufacturer must first submit an application to the FDA for new labeling requirements. President Trump, who has no medical background, has also urged Americans not to use over-the-counter acetaminophen, the active ingredient in Tylenol, during pregnancy, stating it has links to autism, though he did not provide any scientific evidence to back up this claim. In addition to claiming that there was virtually no autism among the Amish or Cubans, which is also false, Trump has also repeated debunked claims about vaccines causing autism. Trump's claim has been swiftly refuted by the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, which issued a statement reading in part, "In more than 2 decades of research on the use of acetaminophen in pregnancy, not a single reputable study has successfully concluded that the use of acetaminophen in any trimester of pregnancy causes neurodevelopmental disorders in children. In fact, the 2 highest quality studies on this subject, one of which was published in the Journal of American Medicine last year, found no significant associations between use of acetaminophen during pregnancy and children's risks of autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability." The statement notes that the only study cited by Trump relied on self-reporting and other unreliable methodology. Even the scientists behind the only study cited by the president, including researchers from Harvard University's School of Public Health, emphasize that more research is needed to see if there is any association between autism and acetaminophen. They assure that Tylenol remains a useful tool for pregnant patients and recommend its use in small doses for short periods of time. Doctors warn that fever can pose a risk to unborn children and cause neural tube defects, but other fever medications are not options for pregnant women, since aspirin can cause bleeding and ibuprofen, the active ingredient in Motrin and Advil, can cause miscarriages and birth defects. That leaves acetaminophen, or Tylenol, the only commonly used over-the-counter drug approved to treat pain relievers and fevers during pregnancies. Autism experts at the U.S. Centers for Disease Control were not consulted or asked to review a draft of the findings and recommendations made by the White House team's autism announcement. Health experts from around the globe are joining with doctors and organizations pushing back against the Trump administration's announcement. Autism was officially defined in 1911, by the way, and Tylenol wasn't invented until 1950. Autism, also known as autism spectrum disorder, or ASD, is a condition characterized by differences or difficulties in social communications and interactions, a need or strong preference for predictability and routine, sensory processor differences, and repetitive behaviors. There is no cure for autism spectrum disorder currently, but being informed and getting treatment early, especially during the preschool years, can make a big difference for many children with the condition. Some children show signs of autism spectrum disorder in early infancy, such as less eye contact, not responding to their names, or being disinterested in caregivers. Later on, they can become more withdrawn, aggressive, or lose key language skills. Some people in the mild range of the autism spectrum may only notice symptoms later on, such as into the middle or later stage of childhood, when there is a greater need to communicate or socialize. There is no single cause for autism, though ASD is believed to result from multiple factors, including genetics, as well as environmental factors such as exposure to pollution or pesticides. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
A teenager in Lemon Grove has reported being followed by a suspicious person in a car on Tuesday, September 23rd, while walking to Lemon Grove Middle School just after 7:30 a.m. The Lemon Grove Sheriff's substation is now investigating the matter. The student reportedly noticed an older man driving a gray Chevrolet Silverado pickup truck at a stop sign near the intersection of Cypress Avenue and Lemon Grove Avenue. According to the student, the driver waved as the student crossed the street, then made a U-turn toward the student. Fearing a possible kidnapping, the student began to run and was approached by a woman driving another vehicle. The woman asked if the student needed help and offered a ride to school, which the student accepted. School officials and deputies spoke with the student about the incident. According to the sheriff's department, at this time, there is not enough evidence of a crime, though an investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to call the Lemon Grove Sheriff's substation at 619-337-2000. The public is reminded to remain vigilant, and if you see something, say something. You can report suspicious activity by calling the San Diego Sheriff's Office at 858-868-3200. In the event of an emergency, call 911. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, is offering a reward of up to $25,000 for information on any of the four individuals who shot at and robbed four hikers, injuring one earlier this year in Hakumba. On Wednesday, January 22nd, at about 10:37 a.m., four hikers were shot at and robbed at gunpoint by two unknown Hispanic male subjects, approximately 1,000 feet from the U.S.-Mexico international border along the Pacific Crest Trail. The unknown subjects began shooting in the direction of the hikers, hitting one of the hikers in the leg. The assailants then approached the hikers and stole their valuables, including backpacks and cell phones, while holding them at gunpoint. The injured hiker suffered non-lethal injuries. Initial reports from the attack in a U.S. Customs and Border Protection press release stated that a U.S. citizen and a Canadian citizen were robbed and attacked by armed suspected Mexican cartel terrorists in the Hakumba Wilderness. The Imperial County Sheriff's Department was first on the scene, taking the report. About an hour later, Mountain Disrupt Unit, Border Patrol Tactical Unit, Border Patrol Surge Trauma, and rescue agents infiltrated to the area, locating the injured victim and stabilizing him. Agents created a protective perimeter and extracted the victim via U.S. Customs and Border Protection Air and Marine Operations San Diego. The victim was transferred to Reach Air Ambulance and flown to Sharp Medical Center in San Diego for treatment. BORTAC and BORSTAR agents maintained a secure perimeter and tracked the assailants back to the border where they returned to Mexico. Anyone with information regarding the location of individuals allegedly involved in this assault and armed robbery incident is urged to contact their local FBI office, nearest U.S. embassy, or submit a tip line at tips.fbi.gov. All information can be submitted anonymously. Special Agent in Charge Mark Darges of the FBI's San Diego field office says, quote, "The FBI will not stop until we find the individuals responsible for this violent crime on these innocent hikers. No one should ever fear being shot at and robbed at gunpoint, regardless of where they are," end quote. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Marie Johnson.
Two mountain lion cubs, who arrived at San Diego Humane Society's Ramona Wildlife Center as orphans in March, have been returned to the wild. The young carnivores were released into suitable habitat in San Diego County on September 18th after undergoing more than 5 months of rehabilitation designed to limit human interaction and prepare them for life on their own. The cubs were originally found alone and malnourished before being safely trapped by the UC Davis California Carnivores Program team in coordination with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. They were transferred to San Diego Humane Society's Ramona Wildlife Center here in East County on March 26th. While in care, the cubs were provided with Project Wildlife's expert veterinary attention and a specialized rehabilitation protocol to build essential survival skills, including hunting behaviors and a natural wariness of people. Autumn Welch, Wildlife Operations Manager of the San Diego Humane Society, says, "We're incredibly proud of the work our team and partners have done to give these cubs a second chance. Releasing them back into their native habitat is the ultimate goal and a major success story for mountain lion conservation in California." San Diego Humane Society's Project Wildlife program cares for more than 10,000 wild animals every year, from baby songbirds to large carnivores. The organization's mission is to rehabilitate and return wild animals to their natural habitats whenever possible, while promoting coexistence through education. For more information about Project Wildlife or to support their work, you can visit sdhumane.org/wildlife.
This is John Tidwell with a health report. Health insurance can feel confusing and daunting, and typically is expensive. But Covered California, the state's Affordable Care Act marketplace, offers a less stressful way to shop for and compare plans. It works with all the major health insurance companies to negotiate the lowest possible prices for coverage, helping reduce costs and increase options for consumers throughout California. Covered California is the state's health insurance marketplace where Californians can find affordable, high-quality insurance from top insurance companies and is the only place where individuals who qualify can get financial assistance on a sliding scale to reduce premium costs. Consumers can compare health insurance plans and choose the plan that works best for their health needs and budget. Depending on their income, some consumers may qualify for the low-cost or no-cost Medi-Cal program. Covered California has helped connect nearly 2 million Californians to health insurance in 2025, the most ever in a single year, and is able to limit 2026 rate increases in California to about half of the national average, with an average weighted rate change of 10.3%. That rate change could be reduced if Congress extends the enhanced federal subsidies that were put in place in 2021 and have spurred growth on Affordable Care Act marketplaces across the nation and in California. Covered California Executive Director Jessica Altman said the reason the organization exists is to provide all Californians with an opportunity to get high-quality health insurance coverage that works on any budget. No matter the reason you're looking for health insurance, explore your options with Covered California and sign up during our upcoming open enrollment period, Altman said. Those who have insurance through Covered California can choose to renew their plan beginning October 1st, and those looking to enroll for coverage beginning next year can do so during open enrollment, which takes place from November 1st, 2025 through January 31st, 2026. Altman says, all plans through Covered California include a whole set of important health benefits that can help protect against physical, mental, and financial hardship. At a time when it seems like prices are rising everywhere for everything, we're doing all we can to reduce costs for health care for all Californians. Plans through Covered California include coverage for preventive care, such as annual checkups and screenings, mental health and substance use services, and even free children's dental coverage. Dr. Monica Soni, Chief Medical Officer for Covered California, notes, getting your kids into the dentist early is a great way to set a strong foundation for overall well-being. Building good dental health habits can have significant long-term health benefits for adults and children. Adult dental coverage can be added to any Covered California plan with an average monthly cost of $27, a price that has remained steady while costs are rising elsewhere. Dr. Soni points out that dental health is critical to everyone's overall well-being. She says there is a clear link between strong oral health and total wellness, including heart health, diabetes control, and even pregnancy outcomes. Getting access to the health and dental care you and your family deserve may be easier than you think. More information about options can be researched by visiting coveredca.com. The site explains how to qualify for financial help and find coverage options in your area. You can also keep up to date on important changes to health insurance. Those interested in learning more about their coverage options can also get free and confidential assistance over the phone in a variety of languages from one of more than 14,000 certified agents and community-based organizations throughout the state. A certified enroller also can call you and help you for free, or you can call Covered California at 800-300-1506. Those who qualify for Medi-Cal can enroll on coveredca.com year-round. Covered California is an independent part of the state government whose job is to make the health insurance marketplace work for California's consumers. It is overseen by a 5-member board appointed by the governor and the legislature.
Experts on Medicare are warning of an onslaught of deceptive ads targeting older adults as many prepare for Medicare open enrollment in a few weeks. Californians are getting lots of calls and postcards for Medicare Advantage plans. Many promise incentives like gift cards or offer benefits like vision or dental, which aren't normally covered by Medicare. Tatiana Fessieu with the California Health Advocates Senior Medicare Patrol says you've got to do your research.
Thoroughly verify whether all of your medical providers are in the network and what will the out-of-pocket maximums be, because having a zero premium plan has a cost to it.
People can get help with the decision via their County Area on Aging's representative for the Health Insurance Counseling and Advocacy Program. You can find a list of HICAP counselors at cahealthadvocates.org. Fessieu says she's seen people accidentally enroll in plans that don't even operate in their zip code.
What sounds potentially too good to be true, it may be a real disaster if they cannot access their doctors, or if all of a sudden they find that their out-of-pocket costs are exponentially higher than what they were used to before.
The deceptive ads often target people who are eligible for both Medi-Cal and Medicare, but the rules on that are complicated, so it's best to consult a HICAP counselor. A federal judge in Texas recently blocked a Biden-era rule that would have cracked down on misleading practices by Medicare insurance brokers. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
Three of San Diego County's largest foundations, the Prebys Foundation, Price Philanthropies, and San Diego Foundation, along with members of the Robert Price family, have formed a group to help local families during a time of challenging cuts in services. The group, United for San Diego, is increasing its annual giving by $70 million for safety net needs, leaders shared during a recent press conference at the Jacobs and Cushman San Diego Food Bank headquarters. The funders are coordinating efforts during a current urgent need, when historic cuts are imminent, to make the biggest impact, helping safeguard access to food, housing, and health care. Robert Price, president and CEO of Price Philanthropies, explains the mission this way. To paraphrase a wise teaching from Jewish ethics, we are not commanded to complete the task of making our world better, but neither are we free to do nothing. Price says many of our fellow San Diegans will soon be facing major challenges in meeting their basic needs for food, shelter, and medical care. We have made the decision to increase our charitable giving to help as many of our neighbors as possible. We hope many of you will join in this effort. Mark Stewart, president and CEO of San Diego Foundation, calls the work together the most significant philanthropic collaboration our region has seen since the COVID-19 pandemic, and it rises to meet the greatest community need San Diego has faced since that time. Along with the foundation's commitment in increased giving, San Diego Foundation is launching the San Diego Unity Fund to enable all San Diegans to contribute to the emergency response effort. The San Diego Unity Fund will raise and grant funds to local nonprofits providing immediate relief to those most in need. 100% of donations will go directly to trusted organizations with no administrative fees. San Diegans can donate at sdfoundation.org/unity. Again, that's sdfoundation.org/unity, with each contribution making a difference in protecting lives and stabilizing communities. The fund aims to collect community donations to support trusted nonprofits working to ensure families can access these vital resources. Stewart says, United for San Diego carries the same spirit of generosity, solidarity, and hope that powered our pandemic response. The San Diego Unity Fund makes it easy for everyone to step up and support neighbors who rely on these essential services, reminding us that when San Diegans come together, there is always reason for hope. Statistics shared at the press conference are daunting. 1 in 8 San Diegans is facing economic hardship because of unprecedented cuts to critical programs and services. San Diego County is bracing for the loss of more than $300 million a year in government funding, dollars that keep San Diegans fed, housed, and healthy. More than 400,000 San Diegans risk losing access to health care. About 100,000 San Diegans could lose food assistance. Grant Oliphant, president and CEO of the Prebys Foundation, says the region's greatest strength is the way we come together when our neighbors are at risk. Oliphant says that United for San Diego is a promise that no one will face this crisis alone. We are committed to protecting the essentials that sustain well-being so families can weather today's storm, and together we can build a stronger, more united, and more resilient region for tomorrow, he adds. The Unity Fund's priorities include the following: housing stability for neighbors on the edge of homelessness, helping families stay in their homes and avoid the trauma of displacement, food security for families and seniors struggling to put nutritious meals on the table, ensuring no one in our community goes hungry, and healthcare access support for vulnerable families, connecting those without reliable coverage to critical medical care and preventive services. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Proposition 28, or the Arts in Music and Schools Funding Guarantee and Accountability Act, gives California school districts about $1 billion per year for arts education. But advocates say some school districts are having a hard time finding staff and navigating program requirements. Districts have to spend each year's funding by the end of the school year or return the money. Kyle Holmes with the California County Superintendents says the state's teacher shortage presents a real challenge, especially for small rural districts.
If a school district has 500 or more students, 80% of it needs to be used to hire staffing. In smaller districts, there are a lot of folks posting openings for new music teachers and new theater teachers that will sit for 6 months at a time and not have any applicants and not be filled.
Holmes adds that arts education improves creative thinking and boosts grades in other subjects. More than 2,200 local education agencies are receiving Prop 28 funding, which is intended to help them hire more staff in dance, media arts, music, theater, and visual arts. School districts that don't want to leave money on the table can get help online by using resources available through the county superintendents, the nonprofit Create California, and the State Department of Education. Just over half of local education agencies have fewer than 500 students. Kate Stover with the Tulare County Office of Education says one district in Lassen County serves just 3 students and got $625 in Prop 28 funds.
It isn't always enough to be able to pay for a full-time teacher, but there are ways to work with outside partners and to leverage existing resources to really bring more arts for kids.
Los Angeles Unified gets almost $75 million a year from Prop 28 to offer arts education to more than 381,000 students. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org. Proposition 28, or the Arts in Music and Schools Funding Guarantee and Accountability Act, gives California school districts about $1 billion per year for arts education. But advocates say some school districts are having a hard time finding staff and navigating program requirements. Districts have to spend each year's funding by the end of the school year or return the money. Kyle Holmes with the California County Superintendents says the state's teacher shortage presents a real challenge, especially for small rural districts.
If a school district has 500 or more students, 80% of it needs to be used to hire staffing. In smaller districts, there are a lot of folks posting openings for new music teachers and new theater teachers that will sit for 6 months at a time and not have any applicants and not be filled.
Holmes adds that arts education improves creative thinking and boosts grades in other subjects. More than 2,200 local education agencies are receiving Prop 28 funding, which is intended to help them hire more staff in dance, media arts, music, theater, and visual arts. School districts that don't want to leave money on the table can get help online by using resources available through the county superintendents, the nonprofit Create California, and the State Department of Education. Just over half of local education agencies have fewer than 500 students. Kate Stover with the Tulare County Office of Education says one district in Lassen County serves just 3 students and got $625 in Prop 28 funds.
It isn't always enough to be able to pay for a full-time teacher, but there are ways to work with outside partners and to leverage existing resources to really bring more arts for kids.
Los Angeles Unified gets almost $75 million a year from Prop 28 to offer arts education to more than 381,000 students. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
The San Diego County Assessor Recorder County Clerk will host an American Archives Month celebration to highlight San Diego County history. The event will take place on Saturday, October 4th, from 8:30 a.m. to noon at the Assessor Record County Clerk's Office in Santee. The celebration will include exhibits and tours of the county archives, recognition of San Diego's cultural heritage, and conversations with cultural heritage experts. Information will be available for students, researchers, genealogists, and curious amateur historians to connect with and help preserve county history. Jordan Marks, San Diego County Assessor Recorder County Clerk, will host a panel discussion on county history with tribal representatives, share information on accessing county archives, and present awards to local cultural heritage champions. He says, quote, Don't miss this opportunity to explore, discover, and celebrate San Diego County's heritage, end quote. For more event information, visit www.sdarcc.gov or call 619-236-3771. The San Diego County Assessor Recorder County Clerk's Office, with more than 450 employees and five offices, oversees assessing the value of real estate and personal property, which in San Diego includes planes and boats. San Diego is the fifth largest assessor jurisdiction in the U.S. For East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Marie Johnson.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week.
This is John Tidwell with Destination East County. October brings Oktoberfest celebrations in La Mesa and El Cajon, as well as an array of spooky events such as a haunted circus, haunted trails in county parks, a Day of the Dead celebration, Hauntfest on Main and El Cajon, a haunted harvest in Julian, pumpkin patches, costume contests for people and dogs, a boo bash at Viejas, a haunted train ride in Campbell, a pumpkin bash and spooky sleepover at Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine, and an autumn festival at the San Diego Zoo's Safari Park. La Mesa invites you to enjoy its Oktoberfest October 3rd through October 5th, featuring traditional Germana cuisine and beers, plus two stages of live music featuring everything from traditional Bavarian and German music to rock bands and DJs. There are also kids' games, Dachshund races, contests, rides, and more. See full details at lamesaoktoberfest.org. The last weekend in September and first weekend in October, the German-American Societies invite you to don your lederhosen and enjoy two full weekends of authentic German celebrations at the El Cajon Oktoberfest. Guests can feast with gusto on foods such as bratwurst, sauerkraut, and ox on a spit, quench your thirst with German beers, kick up your heels with traditional folk dancing and games such as steinholding competitions. There's also interactive musical entertainment, a band flown in from Germany, a kids zone, and more. Find full details at events.germanclubsandiego.org. The Pacific Southwest Railway Museum Association hosts its annual Pumpkin Express Halloween celebration each weekend in October. You can ride decorated vintage rail cars through the San Diego County backcountry as fall descends upon Campo along the historic San Diego and Arizona Railway route. After the ride, guests can decorate pumpkins from an outdoor patch and view displays of haunted train cars and Halloween scenes. Passengers are encouraged to come in costume for the family-friendly event, which has several departures each weekend. There's also an adults-only Sip and Scare Sunset Special on Saturday nights in October. For tickets and details, visit Pacific Southwest Railway Museum at psrm.org/pumpkin/. Borrego Springs hosts its annual Borrego Days Desert Festival on October 18th and 19th. Saturday features a morning flyover and a parade, as well as the Shine and Show Vehicle Show. There's also a beer garden, kids zone, food stations, and booths featuring everything from art to information. Plus, you can enjoy live music all weekend long. For a full schedule of events and details, visit borregodays.com/. The Magnolia in El Cajon hosts its third annual Haunted Circus on October 17th at 5:30 p.m. This year's theme is Monsters at Play. Family-friendly shows feature jugglers, contortionists, stilt walkers, hoop throwers, stacking chairs, crystal balls, acrobats, and more, with performances by Twisted Orbit Circus Entertainment. For tickets and details, visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com. The City of El Cajon invites you to HauntFest on Main, set for October 17th from 4 to 9 p.m. in downtown El Cajon. This family-friendly event, open to the community, features live music, costume contests, carnival rides, a haunted car show, and a variety of local vendors offering food, crafts, games, and more. For the haunting details, visit elcajon.gov and click on the calendar. Oma's Pumpkin Patch in Lakeside is open Tuesdays through Sundays in October. In addition to picking pumpkins, visitors can enjoy a haze maze, a petting zoo for all ages, a hayride, duck races, and more. Children delight in interactive games and activities, while adults can sample delicious pumpkin-themed treats and fall-flavored products. Learn more and book your reservations online at omasfamilyfarm.com. Famed for its pumpkin patch, including giant pumpkins, Bates Nut Farm in Valley Center also hosts several October events, including a pumpkin festival, craft fair October 4th, costume contest and parade October 25th, and Halloween doggy costume contest and parade October 26th. Find a full list of Bates Nut Farm events at batesnutfarm.biz. Lions, Tigers, and Bears Sanctuary in Alpine is hosting a spooky campover on October 24th under the stars. The fun includes campfire songs, pumpkin carving, a Halloween costume contest, and an all-ages haunted house. Enjoy the animal trivia challenge, make s'mores by the campfire, and sip hot cocoa at their Big Cat and Wildlife Sanctuary in San Diego. Come dressed in your best costume and watch rescued big cats and bears devour their pumpkin treats during the Pumpkin Bash at Lions, Tigers, and Bears in Alpine on October 25th at 10 a.m. Pumpkins are stuffed with delicious goodies for fall-themed enrichment as the animals play with their pumpkins and gobble down the goodies. For tickets at these events, visit www.lionstigersandbears.org. The San Diego Zoo Safari Park in San Pasqual hosts its Autumn Festival each Saturday and Sunday in October. Enjoy viewing wildlife, watching special entertainment, and tasting culinary comforts for plenty of family fun. In honor of Founders Day, there's no admission fee during the entire month of October for children age 11 and under when accompanied by an adult at both the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park, a perfect time for kids to go wild. Learn more at sdzsafaripark.org. San Diego Parks and Recreation offers a variety of spooky happenings in October. These include Dia de los Muertos at Rancho Guajome, Adobe and Haunted Trail Hikes at Oak Oasis in Lakeside, both on October 11th, Haunted Trail at Dos Picos County Park, and a Halloween Festival at the Lakeside Community Center, both on October 17th. There are also spooky trails at Hill Hole Canyon Preserve on October 18th and a spooktacular Spring Valley Community Center on October 24th. For a full list of activities in county parks, see sdparks.org. The park at Viejas in Alpine hosts a Boo Bash Halloween party on October 31st, featuring music, dancing, and devilishly good fun. Enjoy music from two DJs plus Earth to Mars, a Bruno Mars tribute band, a costume contest with $7,500 in prizes, themed photo booth, Halloween cocktails, caricature artists, and Halloween treats. For full details, visit viejas.com and click on Events. Fort Cross Old Timey Adventures near Julian hosts Haunted Harvest Nights each Saturday in October, featuring spooky fun, if you dare. Activities include a haunted hayride and a walk through a ghostly forest, ghost stories, and more. For tickets and details, visit fortcross.com. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. Hi, this is Connie again, and I'm talking to you about what you should be thinking about planting now. And in another couple of weeks, you better not be thinking about it. You better be doing it. So what do we start with in the fall? You think green. Think of all those greens that you love to eat, because this is the time to get them in the ground. Asian greens, mustard greens, spinach, and my favorite, beet greens. Except you get a double payoff with beets. In fact, you get about a 5 or 6 payoff with beets, because every little beet seed that you are planting actually is an old dried up flower, and it contains 5 or 6 seeds in it. So when those beets come up, you've probably wondered in the past, why, if I only planted 1 beet there, do I have 5 little plants there? What you can do is wait until they get to be about 2 inches tall, and then, using your very most delicate touch, wet the soil and carefully, using your fingers on the leaves, pull out those extras. Leave the biggest one in place, pull the others, and immediately replant them 3 or 4 inches away from the mother plant, or start another row, but get them a ways away from each other so that they will each have room to grow. As they grow, you can enjoy pulling off an occasional big leaf and stir-frying it or cooking it up, braising it in a pan. They're my favorite greens, like I said. Eventually, much later, you will end up with full-grown beet roots that you can pull out and cook. So now's the time to start your beets. What else can you start now? Broccoli, everything in the cabbage family, kale plants. Pull the old ones from last year that are dried up over the summer. Get some new kale going. You can start cilantro now, and you will have to replant it again in about 2 months, because cilantro doesn't last forever. It goes to flower too soon. But at this time of year, with the cooler days and nights, it takes longer for it to bolt into flower. So cilantro is a great thing to grow right now. Right now, I just started my peas. I use Chinese edible pod peas, but any kind of peas can be started now. What you want to do is soak those seeds overnight or even for 48 hours and then plant them. Poke them into wet soil, get them down about 1 inch or so, 1.5 inches, cover them well. And I want to mention, when all these seeds that you plant, the smaller the seed, the closer to the surface you plant it. And always press down hard. Annie's Annuals up in Richmond is run by a delightful woman who talks about how she started her first batch of annual plants. She planted them outdoors in flats. The seed flats were right there. She was so upset because her cat ran across the seed flats when she was through planting them. What happened was those were the only seeds that came up. So that was a lesson to her, and it's a lesson to all of us. Press down on the soil after your seeds are in the ground so you have good contact as well as the moisture, so things will start early. You can grow radishes year-round. You can start scallions and green onions right now. Swiss chard, I would suggest that you get that in the ground right away, hopefully by the 1st of October, because Swiss chard likes the warm soil to start. In fact, all of these seeds like the warm soil to start, and then they appreciate the cooler days as they grow and get larger.
This is the East County Magazine Tribal Beat, bringing you news for and about our region's Native American communities. This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine's Tribal Beat Report. After passing both the Assembly and State Senate unanimously, a bill aimed at preventing placement of Native American children in foster care away from their tribes and to provide supportive services is now awaiting action by Governor Gavin Newsom. Assembly Bill 1378 would amend state law to let tribes and tribal organizations partner with the California Department of Social Services to provide services aimed at helping keep Native American children safely at home and out of foster care. According to the bill's author, Assemblyman Chris Rogers from Santa Rosa, a Democrat, Native American children in California are placed into foster care at about four times the rate of other children. Rogers says, when we invest in culturally appropriate services, we strengthen families and avoid the trauma of separation. AB 1378 will ensure tribes can directly access the same prevention program funding that is available to counties and other service providers. This is a critical step toward equity and better outcomes for tribal youth, the bill's author concludes. The reasons for the disproportionately high number of Native children in foster care include systemic bias, poverty, substance abuse, and red tape that makes it challenging for tribes to access preventative services. AB 1378 aims to remedy that situation by providing tribes with improved access to mental health care, parenting education, and treatment for substance abuse. If signed into law by Governor Newsom, the bill would also train social workers, provide technical help to tribes for data collection and reporting, help tribes build preventative programs, and provide funding for legal representation of families and children. Governor Newsom has until October 13th to sign AB 1378 into law, Associated Press reports. According to CalMatters, by March 31st of next year, the state must develop a cost allocation plan to fund independent legal representation after consultation with tribes. The bill has broad support from Native American tribes across California. No opposition was registered, according to an Assembly Committee analysis.
The San Diego County Sheriff's Office is asking for the public's help in finding a missing woman. 38-year-old Gonica Resnick was reported missing to the sheriff's office by a friend on July 12th. Family members say they last heard from her on July 5th while she drove through San Diego County as part of a cross-country trip. Her vehicle and trailer were later found unattended in Potrero, a rural East County community. Resnick's current whereabouts are unknown. Sheriff's detectives say it is possible she may have crossed the U.S.-Mexico border into the Tecate area of Mexico, just south of Potrero. She stands 5 feet 5 inches tall and weighs 100 pounds, with blonde hair and blue eyes. She may be wearing a wig. She has several tattoos on her arms. She may be using the name Angel Voldaya, according to Sergeant Jacob Klepek. If you have seen Gada Kovrznik, also known as Angel Volnaya, or have any information about where she may be, please call the San Diego County Sheriff's Office at 858-868-3200. You could also call San Diego County Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, AK Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.